This is Rob Saylor, Director of the Lilly Endowment Clergy Renewal Programs at Christian Theological Seminary. In our podcast series, we'll be sitting down with folks who have been friends of the program, who have benefited from the programs, or who have wisdom to share for congregations and pastors who are seeking renewal opportunities. We are very much looking forward to hearing their insights and are very glad that you've joined us for this conversation series. Today we'll be talking with Reverend Tracy Henry. Tracy has just come back from her clergy renewal leave and is full of insights about how congregations can prepare for this, how pastors can make the most out of this experience, and how this can be a beneficial journey for both the pastor and the congregation. So Tracy, welcome. It's great to have you on our podcast here.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
Tracy, I think it was a few years ago that you had your clergy renewal leave. I wonder if you would just tell us, first of all, how did you decide what to do? What did you do and what led you to those activities, maybe both on your side and on the congregation side?
Sure, be glad to do that. My renewal leave was actually just last summer, so 2019, which here in the summer of 2020 seems like it was perfect timing. I couldn't have anticipated how much I needed that time of renewal for this time of uncertainty in the church. For me, when I was coming up with what it was that I hoped to do during the program, I had a really clear sense of what I wanted to do. Part of that is because I have been living in the States since 2000, and all of my family of origin still live in Northern Ireland. So in those 19 years of living stateside, I'd been home to visit. My longest time back was probably about 3 weeks, and I had been pastoring. I'd gone to seminary. I'd pastored at 3 different churches, both before and after seminary. I got married. I had 3 little boys, and I just knew that I wanted them to be connected in a much, much deeper way to my family and to my homeland back in Northern Ireland. So for me, that was a really obvious request to make. What would it look like for us to strengthen family ties? And so I sort of had a threefold approach to that. I wanted to strengthen family ties with my family of origin, with my spouse, with my kids, with my brother, sister, parents. I wanted to reconnect with the PCI, the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. That had been the tradition in which I had grown up and from which I felt a little bit estranged. And the third piece I was interested in was reconnecting, or in fact, learning anew about the Celtic tradition, which is something I've explored. The Celtic Christianity piece is something I've explored during my 19 years in the States, but I'd never really connected with it in my growing up years. So that was my threefold approach, really, was strengthening family ties in those three particular ways. And so I proposed a sabbatical, which was 3 months in length, and 10 of those weeks find us anchored in Northern Ireland and living with my parents. My sister and family live right next door in the farmland that my grandparents have had for a long, long time. And it was fabulous. My goal for the church and the congregation's goal together was also to be strengthening their family ties and to realize that their family ties are not dependent on the pastor as leader, but in fact, they are a whole and complete church family. So that was sort of our approach, Rob.
I love what you're saying. And it really speaks to the fact that, you know, oftentimes when people hear renewal leave or sabbatical, they think, okay, someone's going to go away and they're going to come back having written a book. But you're describing a real sort of rerooting in that which gives you life. It sounds like that was very impactful for you, both as a person and as a pastor.
That's true. When I look back on it now, I see that my own relationships with my family were strengthened, but not just that. I also see that the relationships that were established between cousins, for example, those are relationships which are going to be lifelong and life-giving, and something that couldn't really have transpired over the course of a 2-week vacation. But to have cousin sleepovers and to have time away with just my sister and brother, to be with just our original family of five with my parents, to spend time with my children, to be able to say yes more often than I say no. So in the usual course of ministry and family life and various commitments and shuttling people around, I have found that often I'm saying no to the request. No, we can't play that game. No, we can't have that snack. No, we don't have time to do this or that. And over the course of the summer, to be able to say to my children, yes, 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 we do have time. Let's build that Lego set that's going to take 3 hours to build. Let's talk a little more about FIFA soccer that you are obsessed with. I really felt I was able to engage on a much deeper level with my children's young lives and to really sink into that and know that I hadn't missed that precious time in their childhood.
You may have just given us the new tagline for our program, a time of saying yes rather than no. What a striking image and applicable, you know, to so many things. You know, in your case, it was family. I can envision pastors and others. Lots of people would listen to this and think there are all sorts of things that I find myself regularly saying no to that a season of being able to say yes to would really be quite healing.
Yes. So just say yes. Right.
So tell me about the congregation's process then. You went on this journey with your people and so on. How did the congregation react when you proposed the idea, you know, during the leave itself? What have you noticed afterwards? Talk about the congregation.
Sure. I started at this congregation. I've been with them for 7 years. And so I knew coming into that establishing just in a terms of call, a proposal for sabbatical or renewal leave would be beneficial. And so we reached that 7-year point and I was able to just look back at the terms of call and say, when I accepted this call, we agreed that there would be a sabbatical, there would be a time away. Obviously, when I proposed that, I didn't know about the clergy renewal program. That made it much easier for the congregation to say yes, just knowing that having applied for and then being awarded the grant, that there would be no financial impact to them. That helped a church like mine, which is, you know, smaller in size and may not have been able to provide for 3 months of paid leave while also covering pulpit supply and pastoral care and so on. So that was a real gift to them. It was really key for me to work with leaders when we formed a sabbatical team, and there was some education that had to happen. Like you said earlier, sometimes when we think of sabbatical, we think of that as a time to produce, right? A time when you come back, there's going to be a result and you're going to present it. In this case, approaching it as a renewal leave, the result is that you're rested, you're renewed, you're refreshed, but there's no thesis. There's no paper, there's no project that I'm going to present to them. And so some education, both with the sabbatical team and then with the wider congregation around what a pastoral sabbatical actually looks like, was helpful. And once they grasped that idea, they were on board. I have a very supportive congregation who's able to look and to say, goodness me, the demands on a pastor and indeed on a pastor's family at times can be quite immense and unrelenting. And they were sort of delighted to offer the gift of the time away. A little anxious to begin with, what does this mean for us? But again, with the clergy renewal program providing some support for that, it was just a matter of working through logistics. And it was a real opportunity for them to come together and for our session and our deacons and also our sabbatical team, for them to think about what it looked like for them to be leaders. We're a Presbyterian church, so we talk a lot about the priesthood of all believers. Mm-hmm. But when it comes down to it, often a lot of that falls on the shoulders of the pastor. Sometimes that is a role the pastor is just eagerly accepting for themselves. So it was really helpful to step away and for them as the priesthood of all believers to continue the life and the work of the church. And so while I was strengthening family ties at home, they were having a number of family suppers throughout the summer where they would just gather at people's homes and share in simple meals. And they probably did that in even greater measure than we would over the course of a regular summer.
Yeah, there are two things that really struck me about what you said. One is, yeah, you talk about this education process with the congregation. One of the things that we always want to say on our end as clergy renewal staff is, look, many, probably most congregations will need a period of asking questions, right, maybe even critical questions. This education period is not a bad thing at all. It's no knock on a congregation. In fact, in most cases, that's exactly one of the benefits of the process, is everyone learning about this. I think sometimes congregations feel like they can't tell us that there was any sort of dissension or any sort of doubt at first. And we want to say, no, lean into that educational time. It's really beneficial. Both what you described with your family and then with the congregation, with this priesthood of all believers, one of the things that has really struck me in talking with pastors that have done this is we all know there are so many relationships in ministry that make ministry possible, make it possible to flourish. Mm-hmm. Family, congregational dynamics, lay leadership. One of the things that these leaves can do is to take what's always there under the surface and kind of bring them to the surface in a way that you can really make sure that they're okay and strengthen right. them and recharge and renew them, right?
Right. And, you know, I think churches can feel a sense of anxiety as a pastor is stepping away. What will happen? What will they discover or find in this time? And what does that mean for us? But for them to go through the time of sabbatical and have the pastor return and know that all is well with them and that all is well with their pastor, I think that's a gift.
So my last question to you, Tracy, is for congregations or pastors that are intrigued by this and they're looking at this application process, what kind of advice would you give them or what sort of questions would you invite them to consider?
Well, I think for pastors, don't be a martyr, right? Don't say, I don't need this. I really don't need this. This is a luxury. Actually, you do need it. Was it maybe in one of Brueggemann's books where he talked about, you know, just rest, just stop. You are not the be all and end all. Just stop, just pause. No, give yourself permission to do that. I think that's what I would say to pastors. Don't sort of just work yourself to the bone. That's really not what God's calling us to. So know that you can step away for a time of rest and renewal. Educate your congregation. I would actually begin less with the congregation and more with your leadership, right? If you could get your leadership on board. If you can, speak to people like myself who've already gone through the process, if that's helpful for pastors or for leadership folks to say, how did you work through this logistically with one another? Because once you get past all of your logistical questions, then you can really sink into what it means for both the pastor and the congregation on a deeper spiritual level, what this time of renewal might look like. In terms of the renewal program itself, I think what you invite us to do as we're writing the application is think about what will bring you life, what will bring you life. So take a deep breath and imagine that and don't shrink it. Just say, if I could really do anything, what would bring me life? For me, that's being with family. For others, it might be seeing different parts of God's good creation. For others, it might be sitting down with a stack of 30 books and working through those. What brings you life? And then ask boldly,
Yeah, what you're describing, I've written about this in a couple places, but when I first took on this role of directing these programs about 8 years ago, we inherited the tagline, "What will make your heart sing?" Mm-hmm. And I'm not the kind of person that leads with his emotions very often. So when I we'll put it that way. So when I first heard the tagline, I confess, part of me is like, this is a little touchy feely, but I've come to be a huge believer in it because it really is a kind of vulnerable question, and it sets up the kind of conversation. You know, as you say, once you move past all the logistics, then you're in a space where you're really dreaming together with the congregation, right? And how often do pastors and congregations really get to have that kind of space of dreaming together, right?
We don't dream, we plan. You know, we come up with strategic vision and we create capital campaigns, we run stewardship drives, but we don't often dream together. And so even that process of dreaming in terms of sabbatical, maybe that informs congregational life then going forward. We were able to dream and then work with the Spirit to bring to life this beautiful picture for renewal. What can we do? How can we dream together with the Spirit and bring to life new vision for our continued life together, right? Once you've been able to dream together once, maybe you can do it again and more broadly.
Well, I think we now have no less than three candidates for our new tagline. A time of saying yes, don't be a martyr. I think that could be one. And then dream, don't plan. Yeah, it's really a marvelous thing that you're describing. And we're so grateful to you, Tracy, for sharing that with us. And thank you for being with us today.
I will be grateful for many, many years for this gift and grateful for the chance to talk about it this morning.
Thank you so much, Tracy. Take care.
Thanks, Rob. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us for this conversation about clergy renewal. Support for our podcast series comes from Lilly Endowment Incorporated. Our producers are Jessica Mesman and Cassidy Hall, and our theme music is composed by Father Joel David Weir. If you'd like to find out more about clergy renewal, please check out our website at www.lilyclergyrenewal.org, and we look forward to hearing from you.